Welcome back to the show, Cassidy.
Hi.
I'm excited today to talk to you about mini programming.
I love the minis.
I know. You're like you've been like affectionately dubbed the like queen of the minis at Hetra. You do a lot of our mini programming. So we'll get into that today. But first, tell everybody who you are and what your job title is at Hetra.
I am Cassidy Fredrickson. I'm an occupational therapist and a certified therapeutic writing instructor as well. And then, like Katie said, I do everything miniature horse related at Hetra, whether that's on-site or off-site. And then I help a little bit with life skills as well.
Awesome. Okay, so let's get into it. I feel like they're not here to introduce themselves, but tell us about our minis.
So we have four minis right now. We have Mary and Lala, who's one of our sets. And then we have Stormy and Blue, who is another one of our sets. And Stormy and Blue have been around for several years with us. And Mary and Lala actually just came around about 2-ish years ago since we kind of started doing more miniature horse programming. We went, saw the need, and we were able to find a good set that already worked well together. So we were able to bring them on site.
Why do our minis always work in pairs?
So horses, obviously we know that horses are herd animals. So bringing them out into, you know, the public can be a little intimidating. So I always find that bringing two of them gives them the opportunity to kind of, you know, emotionally support each other and get more comfortable when they have each other out in the public.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah, they're just more comfortable overall. Traveling and stuff too. I think horses always travel better when they have a friend.
Right.
So we'll get into a little bit about the different types of mini programming that we do, but tell me about when, so we just got these two new minis, Mary and Lala.
Mm-hmm.
What's the integration like for them into our program? I know when we have a new horse, like in our riding program or in our, you know, ground programming, the training's pretty extensive. So tell me about when we integrated two new miniature horses.
So when we brought those guys in, just like what we do with all of our other horses that come into our program, we bring them into the arena, get them comfortable with, you know, the surroundings and where they're going to be hanging out, and then get them used to the wand. So at Hetra, we are very big on leading with a wand when we lead in sessions. And I have found that using that wand with the minis as well is very, very helpful because it does give them that extra bit of guidance, just like a larger horse. And I find that they understand their job and they behave a lot better with that wand. Mm-hmm. So getting them in the arena, getting them used to that stuff, and then desensitizing is really, really important. So some of like the big things that I notice that I always come encounter with are dogs, bikes, and children running. So those were three big things that I wanted to get them used to before they left sight.
Because sometimes when we take our minis out, we could be, for example, like at a like a health fair or something like that. It could be in a park or outside or inside or whatever. So we can't control the elements and our surroundings, our environment, like we can in the arena. Mm-hmm. So desensitizing them to some of those things in addition to what we're already doing in the arena is important, because we obviously don't do a lot of that. You know, our horses in the arena don't really have to be super desensitized to bikes because they don't see them, right?
Right. I know. And some of these things I never really, you know, you never really think about until, you know, you go to that school and you're set up kind of right next to their playground, and you know, there's kids headed home from school that aren't in your after school program and they're taking their bikes home, or a dad is here to pick up his kids and he brought the family dog with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and children are always excited to see Minnie. So of course, right when they see them, the first thing they want to do is run towards us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Talk to me about like the nuances of traveling with Minnies. So we do have some different types of mini programming, some that are here on site and then some that require us to, or we choose, I guess, to travel with them.
So I definitely have been through a lot of interesting scenarios with that trailer. Cause I mean, I'm going to school functions, I'm going downtown, So driving from the interstate to then tight downtown is always very interesting. So I always make sure that the place that I'm going to go has a place for me to set up, and they know that I'm coming with a truck, a horse trailer, and I need to set up a pen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I always make sure that, like, I kind of look at the place online or talk to the person ahead of time, like, hey, you know, is there going to be enough space for me to, you know, flip around or, you know, get out somehow wherever I need to set up.
Right. And you use part the trailer as part of your strategy for keeping the minis happy too, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. So our insurance requires us to have the minis in a pen when we go out in public. So what I use is the trailer. I put the pen up next to the trailer. So then that allows the minis to have, you know, one side away from people. Mm-hmm. So not all sides are surrounded by people. They can go, they can take a bite to eat from their hay where there's no people, decompress a second before they come back and get some more love.
And I think that helps you kind of with crowd control too, right? Like you can station a couple staff, you know, at the front of that pen and help manage all those running excited friends.
Right, right. So like I always make sure that I have horse leaders that are very comfortable handling the minis and able to kind of advocate for the minis as well,
mm-hmm.
because they are so cute and kids do get super excited and adults as well. And the first thing they want to do is go to their faces. And, you know, minis being smaller, I feel like people don't advocate for them as much.
Yeah.
Like they always want to, because they're fuzzier. So they're just cuter and everybody wants to touch them everywhere. So really making sure that my volunteers that are with me are comfortable advocating for those horses the whole time. And then that allows me to be outside of the pen, kind of directing traffic,
mm-hmm.
Depending on whatever I'm taking them to.
Right. I have never been around miniature horses before I came to Hetra. How different could it possibly be than like leading your bucket calf at the county fair? But it's important that we treat them like large horses. You know, they have the
right.
same ability to get burnt out or get overwhelmed that our large horses do, right?
Right. So like always making sure that you don't push them. You know, we don't push our regular size horses in our programming to do too many sessions,
mm-hmm.
you know, until they get burnt out. And I've kind of found that personally our minis do best with like a 2-hour time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So that I go set up. Once we're all set up, my time starts,
mm-hmm.
2 hours, and then I clean up. And that has kept them the happiest. I find that by like an hour 45, they're kind of getting antsy and they don't
mm-hmm.
want to stand still anymore, which is understandable.
Right. Yeah, you're asking them to work for 2 hours straight, you know?
Straight and not like breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do try to get breaks when the students, you know, rotate their groups out.
Right.
And allow them to move their feet as much as they can, but making sure that they keep their manners while doing so.
Right. So talk to me a little bit about the different types of mini programming that we offer, because we offer some that are here, like at Hetra, and some where we travel offsite. So tell me a little bit about the different programs you have.
Yeah, so I have a few different programs that we've kind of built up. So the on site, what we'll do is we do miniature horse camp.
Mm-hmm.
So that might look like about 2 hours, and we split those into two different groups, the younger kids and the older kids. And we're not riding or anything. We're just working with the miniature horses.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get like a tour of the barn, because a lot of the kids that I have come, I find that are not participants from Hetra,
right,
which is awesome.
Public.
So yeah. So we open it to the public. So we get some people in, we give them a tour around the whole barn, kind of introduce them on how to be safe around the horse. And then they get to, you know, groom the horse in the arena. They get to, if it's nice outside, go lead the horse on the sensory trail
mm-hmm.
through a pattern. Learn about nutrition and what the horses eat, and maybe make some grain up for that
mm-hmm.
night. So
some kind
done.
Of act,
yeah.
some kind of like hands-on activities.
Yeah, just like a lot of hands-on activities that educates them about the horses, but keeps them involved. So
yeah.
especially when you have little kids, making sure that your groups are quick because I've definitely found that like 15 minutes tops and like we're ready to go to our next thing.
Okay, what else do we do with our minis?
So then what other things we do is we take them out into the community in a couple different scenarios. So one scenario that we could take them out in the community would be an on-site miniature horse learning program. So those are specifically school-based, and they can be during school hours, but usually they are after school just because that's where the majority of time, that's where the funding is. Mm-hmm. So after school programs, a lot of the time have funding to help support their programs and bring people in to help educate their students.
That makes sense.
And I've also found that the groups are smaller and they're easier to kind of like manipulate how many people come out at a mm-hmm. time, where, you know, if you go during the school day, you have everybody and that's just a lot more hands that you'll have to deal with.
Right.
But then when I go there, that, like I said, those are 2 hours as well. So splitting the groups up into about, you know, 30 minute groups, that way you can teach to the level mm-hmm. of student that comes out, but then you can also allow maximum hands-on time.
Right. And giving the minis a little break, like you said, between right. the groups and that right. kind of thing. So tell me about the types of curriculum that you're doing at those on-site learning programs, because they're typically obviously school-based. So mm-hmm. are you working on school-type tasks, or are these more like learn about the horse? What are you doing?
So I really try to pick topics that I can relate to them, but then kind of teach through the horse. So, you know, health and nutrition is always a good one. And like communication is always mm-hmm. a good one, because you can kind of talk about different ways that we communicate with each other and then how the horses communicate. And then we can kind of watch the minis and see how they're communicating with us and what they're telling us. Mm-hmm. And another really big one that I like to do is boundaries. Mm-hmm. So boundaries is so, so, so important, especially with children nowadays. And it's a great opportunity to learn through the horse. So horses aren't going to lie to you. Horses are going to tell you what they're feeling. So it's really cool to kind of explain boundaries and then watch the kids kind of interact with the horses and almost overstep their boundaries mm-hmm. and watch them react. So then the child can kind of see that, observe that, and then think about, oh, they didn't like that. Like, I should probably do it differently this next time.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of going with you to a mini visit where you did boundaries as a curriculum, and the drawing the circle with the chalk mm-hmm. and, you know, this is yes. my bubble, my personal bubble, you know, and our mini horses have a personal bubble too, right? And then you kind of taught like that horse curriculum or that horse communication piece where, you know, you look at their ears and maybe they get too close to them and her ears kind of go back or something. And then mm-hmm. they get that immediate feedback with, oh, maybe I'm in, you know, Stormy or Mary or Lala's personal bubble, you know? And I think that's such a unique opportunity for kids to see immediate feedback of that. Because otherwise, you know, if you were in my personal bubble, Cassidy, I'd probably think to myself, wow, Cassidy's really close to me.
but you probably wouldn't say anything.
But our horses are going to show you with their body yes. language, right?
And very quick reactions, you know, and like that's what the kids need is that quick reaction. And they're like, oh, like real time. Oh, I'm definitely in their space and they don't like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they can always work with each other as well, you know, partner up with a friend, practice like, okay, you can come so far until I tell you to stop. And then that's where my personal space bubble mm-hmm. is. And then I always like to go around and kind of really talk about and explain the importance of your personal space bubble mm-hmm. And just really make sure that they understand kind of, you know, who should be staying outside of that bubble, yeah. who's allowed to come in, and how your bubble changes with everyone around you.
I love that. What an important topic. I really like this one. Do you care if we share this curriculum to our friends at Patreon?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll put together, we do have, all of our curriculums we keep like in a binder type of a thing so that we can kind of quickly pull out EAL activities or ground-based programming. So I think I'll share that.
Yeah.
With everybody.
Go ahead.
Okay.
That's right. Cassidy is going to share her personal space and personal boundaries curriculum with all of you. All you have to do is go to the link in the show notes, click there, and you will immediately get access to 3 beautiful PDFs with detailed instructions on the objectives, the materials that you need, and we don't skip on instructions at Hetra University. So you're going to get detailed step-by-step instructions on how to facilitate this important topic and bring it to your center, including the equine activity that she discussed exploring horses' personal boundaries and how they relate to ours. Enjoy!
This podcast is sponsored in part by Wooden Horse Corporation and the Equisizer. The Equisizer, a handcrafted, non-motorized mechanical horse, is currently being used by hundreds of equine-assisted services programs worldwide. The Equisizer requires no electricity, tools, or maintenance, and can be used anywhere, indoors or out, for evaluations, warm-ups, stretching before lessons, mounting and dismounting practice, emergency procedures, or volunteer training. The Equisizer can also aid in reducing fear and building confidence for both students, clients, and volunteers. It can easily carry the weight of 2 adults, offering the option to ride tandemly for those riders who may need more support. To learn more about the Equisizer for your equine-assisted activities, visit equisizer.com. That's EQUICIZER.com.
Moving on to some of the other different types of mini programs. So you said we do mini camps here. Mm-hmm. You do your on-site learning at like schools or after-school programs. What else do we do?
So I also love to go to senior homes. Oh, so yeah. Senior living. I very much enjoy going to different kinds of nursing homes, whether it's assisted living, independent living, memory care, mm-hmm. you know, all those different areas. And they love, love, love it. Oh. And it's very interesting to sit there and listen to their stories mm-hmm. about how, you know, when they had horses, when they were growing up and what they used their horses for mm-hmm. and just that, you know, social interaction and having the interaction with an animal, mm-hmm. they very much enjoy.
And because of our insurance, our minis stay in that pen. So they have to come out to us. It's not like I'm sure people are picturing like a therapy dog situation where you take them into the home.
Right,
you
know right. I mean? So I've heard of people bringing their miniature horses into places, but we don't bring our miniature horses mm-hmm. into the building just because I don't have a poop plan for that.
Right.
And I don't want to deal with that poop plan.
Always have a poop plan.
So that is one big thing. Always have a poop plan because you'd hate to get somewhere and they poop and then you're like, oh, what do I, how now do I put this up? So yes, I always keep them outside and I always keep them in a pen. And then I usually find a way. And usually the, senior living centers are very, very willing to work with me on like, okay, like where can you set up that's closest to like maybe a back gate mm-hmm. to like the memory care, like patio area. Yeah. And then, you know, they get all their staff to bring them out and, you know, they can interact and they absolutely love it. And then one other place that we kind of take our minis, we do also still use them as our ambassadors. Mm-hmm. So obviously horses are a big draw. So those always get people's attention. And so we'll bring those to, you know, booths, marketing events occasionally if it makes sense, mm-hmm. if it's appropriate. I always make sure that I find out like, how many people are going to be there? Are other animals going to be there?
It's a lot to plan for, but overall, the planning and the time that goes into it and some of that kind of risk is worth the benefit, right?
Oh, 100%. I love, love, love miniature horse season. It is my favorite. Absolutely.
We're gearing up for it right now, right?
Yes. I'm like getting emails about people wanting to sign up and But the one thing about signing up is your budget.
Yeah.
So that's always one thing that I have to really pay attention to because at the end of the day, it does cost time and money for us to bring our horses out somewhere. Mm-hmm. So we do really need the support from mm-hmm. the community. Right. And there are some grants that will fund us, some specifically for after school programming.
I feel like that's a good area of grant funding because we are so, at least in our community, short on high quality, you know, educational opportunities that are different like this for some of our higher needs communities and after school programs specifically. So there's definitely some grant options available for that, for us at least.
Right. And then even some, when, you know, if you bring up the topic of going to senior living, yeah. I have a lot of grant funders that want to specifically fund that as well.
Right. Quality of life and improving all, yeah.
And so it's always, always important to make sure that I have that, but also letting those organizations know that you go to, like, how important it is, because, mm-hmm. you know, once they try it one time, they're gonna call you again the next year, but kind of really getting them to buy into that,
yeah.
you know, how much it impacted their organization and kind of helping you support the rest of the community. Because if you do get those, you know, 5 visits that you went to last year come and contact you first thing, well, there goes all your grant funding.
Right.
So really getting organizations to help buy in, and, you know, you don't even have to ask for a lot, but just a little bit of support, mm-hmm. because then you have more grant funding to help more organizations.
Absolutely. I love that perspective, kind of getting people to see, you know, maybe the first time you do it, it's free. And then the next year you ask for a little bit of support because you kind of,
right.
they get to see that in action and how much of a difference it makes. And I know you do surveys and all kinds of stuff at the end of your mini season, quote unquote, to help provide some feedback and provide some, like, I guess, reviews or, you know, that kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
Which also helps with grant writing too. For
yes.
them. Very good. Well, Miss Cassidy, I have enjoyed this. I've learned a lot about our minis, and I wish you luck on your mini season this year.
Thank you, thank you.
Before I let you go, I did not prep her with this, everybody.
Oh boy.
So you're getting a real life response. The question of the year for this year's podcast is...
Oh, no.
What is your golden rule? So if someone were to forget everything you had taught them, but they do remember this one thing that, like, Cassidy, you know, lived her life by, like, what's her golden rule?
Like, mini related or just,
no,
like,
just
my life?
Anything. Your life, your professional life, your personal life.
One thing that I'm really big on at Hetra is I will say, like, please and thank you. I know that's really just, like, simple, but, like, I always make sure that, you know, at the end of each lesson that I have, I make sure that, you know, I say thank you to each of my volunteers, mm-hmm. and I make sure I use their name, because that just makes somebody feel more special and important. And it's not like, oh, I'm not another number. Like, no,
yeah.
you are Sally, who really did help me a lot in my lesson today. So I always make sure that I let our volunteers know that, like, I do appreciate their time.
I love that. And I will say that I have witnessed this in your sessions too. And you don't only just do it yourself, but you also encourage your participants to
mm-hmm.
do it as well. And, like,
mm-hmm.
the importance of, like, really recognizing and seeing our volunteers. Because I think so often, I mean, kids or participants in general come to their sessions every week for how long, and they always have sidewalkers. They always
right.
have a horse leader. And so it's easy to kind of just, like, they're always there, right?
Right. But, and then, like, even when the kids are on the horse, you know, when they're going around and they're asking for stuff to, like, get, you know, a ring off the wall,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of the kids just kind of get in the habit of just, like, you know, pointing or just, like, woeing at it and expecting the volunteer to get it. But, you know, just, like, going back to those foundational skills
yeah.
of please and thank you.
Love that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for your time today, Miss Cassidy. I'm sure this won't be the last time we have you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I always love to come.
This podcast is presented by Hetra University, the educational arm of Heartland Equine Therapeutic Riding Academy in Gretna, Nebraska. Hetra University's mission is to provide high-quality educational offerings to the EAS community. Check out all the Hetra University has to offer at www.hetrauniversity.org.